looking at the matter of fellowship, and I pointed out previous time that I preached that the Word of God is essential, and we were instructed that we are to grow in the same manner that we were saved, and that is by faith. Most particularly, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," we received him by faith, we received him from the Word, "so walk ye in him." That's how we're supposed to live. "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And so it takes time to build your faith. Don't browbeat yourself over something that is not needed. Okay? There's times where we need to admit that we have grown beyond the point that we've exerted our faith, but the devil will want to come along and make you feel like you are a failure over every little possible thing. It takes time to build your faith. It takes time to build a strong relationship with other believers. We have instant salvation and are instantly placed into the family of God, but it takes time to build relationships within that family. And so we accept each other on the basis of the profession of our faith, but it takes time to learn to know each other. And listen, everybody has weaknesses and strengths. And it is another person's strength that we are initially drawn to. That's what we see. That's what, if you please, impresses us and we like. And so we can become quickly enamored with somebody because of their strengths. But then we realize, even though we began to think maybe they weren't, they're human.
Yeah.
And therefore they have weaknesses. And we must be careful, because our initial reaction to those weaknesses can be to write that person off, because we had false expectations that they only had strengths. Oh, academically, mentally, we'd say, well, we know no one's perfect. Well, okay, those weaknesses are the evidence of that. And so it takes time, and we need to allow the strengths and the weaknesses of a person to, you know, to balance, and the strengths to override the weaknesses. Now, I'm not talking about sinfulness. I'm not talking that we overlook, purposeful sin. But I'm just saying, nobody is only strength. And so it takes time to build a relationship. And fellowship is what happens as we build that relationship. The definition of fellowship is closeness. Communion. Not as in the Lord's Supper, but communion as in sharing in common. And so an illustration of this is communal living. Okay. Now, we didn't buy into the hippie communal living, but that's an example of communal living. Our founding fathers had communal living when they first came here, the Pilgrims. And they found that didn't work, so they left that and started into free enterprise. And so sharing in common, fellowship, means an intimate relationship and sharing in common. There are many scriptures that we can look at regarding fellowship, and we may do that, but I want to move, so as to be sure that we cover it, the fellowship of prayer. Okay, this is prayer meeting. And we encourage people to come to prayer meeting. And there's the fellowship, the sharing in common, okay, the closeness, the fellowship of prayer. I've also heard it put, having a share, okay, is receiving, giving a share is interceding, and sharing is being a part of prayer. So if we are receiving the matter of prayer, now we are having a share. We have a share, okay? You're praying for me for a need that I have, and so I am having a share. I'm receiving your prayer. Giving a share is when I intercede for you. I pray for you. Okay? And so you have a share in what you get. You give a share in when you pray for somebody. And then sharing is what we do when we pray with somebody else. Now, you say, I just thought I prayed. That is what you do. You just pray. But this is what is taking place. Look at Hebrews, if you would. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to begin at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4. And beginning at verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This matter of going before God in prayer, we are going to the throne of grace. But notice, if you will, the plural emphasis. This is true of each of us as an individual, but as an individual who is sharing with others. You'll see this when he says here in verse 14, then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, that's identifying all of us. It's speaking of the plural in the sense that we, this is what we all get. But the individual aspect of it is I together with you. And so that's why we say, when it comes to the matter of the prayer experiencing, having a share, receiving. Why are you receiving? Because somebody else is giving a share. And the reason I emphasize share is because fellowship is sharing in common. And so we realize that. Now, fellowship of prayer is great. We're going to be doing that this evening. We do it every Wednesday. And of course, we do it at home alone. We may do it at home as a family. Or it may be a matter of you and a friend, or you and a couple of friends that share prayer requests. You have a need. I get a text and it says, well, we have a special need. Please pray for us. And that text is probably sent to several people. And so there is that sharing again. Now, the fellowship of prayer is great. One, knowing that others are praying for us. In times of need, others are praying for us. Montgomery's, through the trailer experience. My, what an encouragement you have been to my wife and I. To see your steadfastness, your faithfulness, as you went about waiting for a spot to come, then waiting to get it moved, and then waiting and waiting. okay? you are patient people. Okay, well, now wait a minute. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. You've had the tribulation, and that means patience comes. I know you don't always feel patient. Okay, understand that. But then, hey, we've prayed through with Dale and his back. I think we ought to start praying for a new back. There's got to be some hospital somewhere that does back transplants. You know, sort of like you fillet a fish, or you just cut that back spine up, put another one in there. Okay, silly, I know. But we pray. We're praying for us in times of need, in times of normalcy. Ah, yes, in times of normalcy. Just because something's going well for somebody, don't assume that they don't need prayer.
That's right.
How many times have we been tempted when everything seems to be going good? Okay. And so that's why it's good to just take the church list. Okay? Just take the church list and pray down over it. I've taken the list and folded it. What is there, four columns? Folded, I think, four times. And then I just, you know, pray down one column, fold it over, pray down the next column. Pray for each other, even if there isn't a particular need.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I mean, pray for Sharon.
Yeah, amen.
The healing of her feet.
Yeah, amen.
And the fact that John's there all the time. Pray for John. Pray for John. I know where John's at taking care. I took care of Pat.
Amen.
It's a wonderful experience, isn't it? And we're very grateful. God told us to be thankful when they don't need care. Now, I say that in humor, but it's an honor to take care of our wives, isn't it? How long they've taken care of us so many times. And so, but that's praying for us. And then knowing that others are praying with us. Now, that's not putting heat in the Montgomery's trailer, but it's still encouraging to know that people are praying with them. Okay? And it also lets them know that apparently we don't have a lot of power in prayer. Again, I just say that to add some humor. I don't know if it's needed. But it's great with others praying with us, like in prayer meeting. I look forward to going into the back room, sitting around the table, hearing the different men pray. Okay? That's marvelous. And whether they are experienced in praying or whether they are new in praying, there's a blessing in both kinds. And if you go in a prayer meeting, and the ladies, the same way, you know, you pair up, or maybe three of you together, whatever, however it works out, the praying with us, with each other, is such a marvelous thing. And let me encourage you, if you're not accustomed to praying out loud, you can. Okay? You can. Just listen to what the other men are saying. And you don't have to pray a lot. When I started praying, I thought it was a whole lot the first time I prayed audibly in a prayer meeting. I would look back and probably it was about one sentence. But when I was doing it, it seemed awful. You know, it seemed long, take forever. And so it doesn't, you know, if you just pick one or two things, Lord, help the Schmidts as they go through the problems with her mother and her health. Okay? And that's sufficient. Okay? If you're not used to praying, just pray. You know, now if you pray that, everybody's going to wonder, who is Schmidt? Don't make up a prayer. Okay? There's something that's needed that you can pray for. But it doesn't have to be long if you're not accustomed. But listen to me. You're listening? It's better for you to join with others and pray in your heart and mind than to not pray at all.
Yeah.
In other words, I'd rather have a man come back, and though he has not yet gotten to the point where he can pray even one, requesting one thing from God, the fact that he's there praying in his heart is good.
Yes, amen.
And you ladies, when two or three of you, you say, well, if there's two of us and I don't pray, only the other one prays, well, then make it a trio. Okay? Get somebody else there if you feel that two need to pray. But even look who we are. Look who we are. We are each other. And so if you move over with another lady and you don't feel comfortable to pray out loud, just tell them. Just tell them, I want to pray with you, but I don't feel comfortable praying out loud. Well, what's she going to think? She's probably going to think a lot higher of you than if you don't stay and pray at all. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about how highly someone thinks of you. Okay? So, stay and pray. And if you're not comfortable praying audibly, you can grow to that. And until you do, just tell the other person or two or whatever, I don't pray out loud yet. Listen, this is us. Look around. Who's here? Who are you going to think ill of for saying that? You wouldn't think ill of anybody that would be with you and say that, would you? Of course not. We don't do that as family. Okay? And so, pray. It's a marvelous experience. Prayer partners. This is one who prays together even though they're not physically together. Now, they might be physically together, but it can be somebody. You can call many people and ask them to pray over a need. And although it can be encouraging having many people praying on something, listen, getting 1,000 people, you get these kind of email requests. Will you please pray for and pass this on to 20 other people in your contact list? We're trying to get 1,000 people to pray for this need. Do you think God's going to answer any quicker because 1,000 pray rather than 1?
Yes, sir.
No.
Yeah.
But you pray with somebody. You have somebody that's close to you. Somebody that you feel you could confide in if it's something of a personal nature. And oh my goodness, if somebody confides in you about something and asks you to pray and keep it to yourself, then do that. And don't share it with somebody else on the basis of, well, you know, this is a really serious prayer request and I'd like you to be praying. No, if the person who gave it to you said keep it to yourself, then keep it to yourself.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Yep.
Or they'll never ask you again.
Right.
And it's going to make very impossible the building of a relationship. Huh? And so, have a prayer partner. And like, you know, I say partner, you might have more than one. But, and you may not be able to get together geographically, physically to sit down with each other, but you'll meet them at the throne of grace.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:16, when he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Listen, we can both be sitting here and pray together and we're going to the throne of grace. I can be in Olean, you can be in Belfast, and we're each praying, we're still meeting at the throne of grace. Okay? The place of prayer. Prayer warriors in a church are people who well know how to pray, people who want to pray, and the kind of person that a pastor is able to call and say, here's a need, I'd like you to pray. And let me tell you, one prayer warrior who prays faithfully gets hold of God. One prayer warrior is worth 10 who nonchalantly and might even forget it. Pray when they might think of it, okay? Prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Some of the old saints used to talk about prayer warriors. And so there's a need for prayer meeting. The concern about low attendance at a prayer meeting, oh, by the way, that's almost, well, it's nationwide. I was going to say almost universal, but there are some countries who know what prayer is, okay? But at least nationwide, low attendance is a prayer meeting. I hear from men, let me take round figure that I can easily speak, They have 100 on Sunday morning, and then it's not uncommon that they'll have 40 or 35 Sunday night, and then come prayer meeting, maybe 10 or 15. Well, that's the ratio of how things often go. And praise God for the attendance we have in prayer meeting. But you know, we could have even more in prayer meeting. Amen. And I realize tonight with the extra cold weather and the road that, you know, some may be fearful of driving on. But and so the concern about low attendance, the call to greater faithfulness in prayer and in prayer meeting is not because of wanting to register a higher number or a higher percentage from our morning service to this service, but rather a concern for spiritual growth, for spiritual needs within the church, a concern for God's people to have a more satisfactory degree of fellowship with God and with each other. And so, let's think about that as we take prayer requests and then go to prayer this evening. All right, prayer requests. What do we have? Autumn. Okay. Autumn's kindergarten and preschool teacher's dog has problems, and the teacher was concerned, upset about it. All right, Trevor.
Pray for
the family. Pray for the family.
Little Eddie.
Oh, little Eddie. Yes. I wonder who Letty was. Okay. Dutchmen sometimes not only sound funny when they talk, they sound funny when they listen. Okay. Other requests. Yes, Rayanne.
Aunt Liza.
Aunt Liza. All right. And others. Josh.
One, my dad. Another, my anger problems. And that I can do things. I'm not good. I stopped having uncle.